save the king.
Hello and welcome back to Pod Save the King. And those words feel a bit different this week, actually, because clearly he is being treated for cancer. That was the big shocking news that broke on Monday evening at 6 o'clock. I am your host, Anne Gripper. I'm joined by Daily Mirror Royal Editor Russell Myers, who I'm going to grill mercilessly.
Oh, gosh. I mean, sounds ominous.
Well, you know, there's a lot that we do know, but there's a lot that we don't know, and how it's all unfolded. You know, it was only last week we were chatting reasonably optimistically. Charles and Kate both home from hospital, having their recoveries, but probably even already at that time, Charles and Camilla knew that that wasn't going to be the end of their story, their sort of the medical treatment. Camilla was out, brave face on, being the queen, doing engagements, but knowing that her husband next week was going to be starting cancer treatment.
Well, yes, and the rest of the family would have known, we presume, that the king called his siblings and his sons personally and had been dealt that pretty much, you know, devastating diagnosis. No other way to put it, is that whenever you hear the words cancer, you associate it with sort of a long and arduous journey forward. And of course, we don't know the specifics of the cancer that he is suffering from. The Buckingham Palace have said this secondary diagnosis was determined. He, after tests, course, he was in hospital for that 3-night stay at the London Clinic, undergoing treatment for an enlarged prostate. And I mean, he looked all smiles coming out. I mean, well, didn't look, he was all smiles coming out of the London Clinic, and then he was going home to rest and recover. We then saw him on Sunday walking to church in Sandringham, and it looked absolutely normal. And people I've spoken to this week have said, if you didn't know, you would think absolutely everything was fine, and he was recuperating from his previous procedure. But I think it's going to be quite a journey, isn't it? Because when you hear those words, when you hear the fact that he's going to have to go in for cancer treatment, you immediately assume the worst. But it's interesting. I've spoken to someone in the last couple of days, and they said that, listen, this is very much pioneering and less invasive treatment. And they made the point by saying that this specific kind of cancer treatment has come a long way. It's certainly not a, you know, completely wreck your body. I saw a description in one of the papers about a blitzkrieg. It's very much a sort of gentler targeted treatment, certainly. So that bodes well, I think, because as I understand it, the king will be coming back for weekly treatments. He still wants to keep up his personal audiences with the Prime Minister, which normally happen on Wednesdays. So if you're looking at a timeline, he was in last Monday for treatment. May he come back again on the Monday, have the treatment, have a little rest on the Tuesday, see the Prime Minister on Wednesday, and then one would imagine again go back to Sandringham to again continue his rest and recovery. But I think there's a lot of things up in the air at the moment, and while the efficiency and the side effects have been significantly improved for this type of treatment, again, we still don't know what it is, and I don't think we will end up knowing the unless the king wants to discuss it and raise it personally, which he may do. I mean, you look at the way he was received for speaking about his enlarged prostate, and it's the NHS have said 1,000% increase of people seeking out information. So he may decide that he wants to speak about it in due course.
And it's interesting. I mean, people are saying, you know, he was very open about the enlarged prostate, and it was very, you know, quite specific, the detail, whereas this time it's now relatively unspecific. It's cancer. We don't know what kind of cancer. We don't know, you know, sort of the prognosis, at what stage it's been caught. We know the Prime Minister said it's been caught quite early. And
well, interestingly, and then it's a bit of a possibly insider information, it looked like that Downing Street were rowing back on that, because he said, so the Prime Minister was being interviewed by BBC Radio in the morning, and he made the statement that he was happy that the cancer had been caught early. Those were his words. And then Downing Street were issuing a clarification, not officially, but through the Press Association, after they'd been asked about those comments, and they said that the Prime Minister was referring to the previous Buckingham Palace statement, where they mentioned that the king was wanted to praise the doctors for their swift intervention. And I think they are two very different things. Catching the cancer early and having swift intervention. Well, the swift intervention is the fact that they've spotted it and they're getting him in straight away. Catching cancer early is another thing entirely. Now, we still don't know the sort of semantics of those two things. So I just think we have to wait and see, really, and see how the king gets on. Will he completely pull him back from those public-facing duties? The palace have said that there may be a situation where he doesn't do his private audiences with the prime minister. The reason why he is pulling himself back from public duties is because of a high risk of infection, especially when you're undergoing cancer treatment. So I think that it will be a little bit of wait and see what happens.
Clearly, Macmillan Cancer Support, they don't mind that he has not gone public on exactly what type of cancer it is. Royal Family retweeted with a green heart the message that Macmillan shared of, "We hope that by sharing his diagnosis so publicly, His Majesty the King will encourage others to reach out for support if they are concerned about cancer." So just, I mean, they didn't have any other choice really than to say he had a very serious condition. They've obviously named it as cancer and they would be stepping back because he's going to be out of the public eye and out of, you know, meet and greets and such like for a prolonged period of time.
Yeah, well, the sort of I think the accepted view of how long he would be off was a month, and Buckingham Palace hadn't made that statement. But I think when you're speaking to medical professionals and they were discussing quite broadly, if you were to go in for a procedure on an enlarged prostate and had a 2 or 3 night stay in hospital, you would probably have a month off work. And so that was widely accepted. There was no pushback from the palace. So it absolutely looks like the king will have more than a month off work. And it's twofold, really. They were wanting to get ahead of that. There would have been people asking questions why he wasn't necessarily doing engagements. And if a month had come and gone, why is he not back at work? People may have assumed he had prostate cancer, which is the one thing that the palace have said he hasn't got. And I think another thing, they were worried that he would be pictured outside a London cancer hospital. We don't know where he's been treated, but if the king is going to be seen or outside on the streets of London walking into a hospital, somebody could take a picture of that and it could blow up. And they wanted to get ahead of it. And I thought that the actual statement, the way it was presented and the way that it was managed from a personal point of view of how I think the palace dealt with it, I thought we've dealt very, very well. Again, you get these descriptions of they're not going to be a running commentary, but there has been some form of engagement, I think. And again, I will make the point, I think by not saying what cancer he has creates a broad church, and it kind of puts the arms around people who are suffering from cancer. And if you are worried about anything, whether you are experiencing, you know, enlarged moles, like you had the Duchess of York speak about last week, if you have got an enlarged prostate, which can sometimes sadly turn to cancer, anything, if you're worried about your health, go and get checked. 1 in 2 people will suffer from this awful disease. And I think by the king being so forward, and as well as the palace, then it's a good deal for everyone out of a bad situation.
And I think they have always also tried to recognise that he is not by any means the only man in the world, family in the world currently dealing with cancer. And well, we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, health is a great leveller.
Yeah.
You know, he has got access to the best and fastest treatment as you would expect.
And there has been some criticism, hasn't there? I mean, you know, waiting lists are sky high, not only in this country, I imagine in many other countries as well. Would you be seen straight away? I think we deal with cancer quite well in this country, don't we?
Let's hope.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that my family has been affected by it, personally affected by it several times. And I think, from personal experience, they've got them in very quickly, within a couple of weeks. I mean, he's basically got him just over a week, hasn't he? And he will be afforded, you know, the best treatment, and we just wish him well.
Absolutely. You talked a bit about the announcement on Monday and then being able to get ahead of it, and it was clearly all quite well stage managed, because obviously the first announcement we had on the Monday was that William was going to be coming back to work, which was certainly earlier than I was expecting, because my betting was on, oh, he'll take half term off and come back after that, which is half term's next week. And
we should have had a bet, because I said it, I thought he was going to come back, do 1 or 2 engagements this week, and then have next week off. That was my
Okay.
And that was just a.
And we would probably be, well, as it turns out, we'd have both been wrong because clearly, you know.
Well, no,
you
I would have been right.
Well, he's not going to have next week off now, surely.
No, he is. No,
he's still taking next week off?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. It's half term.
Fair enough. Yeah, got to look after the kids.
So I should have bought a lottery ticket.
Still time, Russell. Still time. And in fact, you know, the engagements he was coming back for yesterday, doing the investitures and then going to the London Air Ambulance Gala dinner, you wonder whether that was one he would always have hoped to be able to get back for if he could.
Yeah.
Because, you know, his close connections, having been an air ambulance pilot and... But I do like the idea of, I would love to know how you ended up having both Prince William and Tom Cruise at a gala dinner, which does seem like a lot of high
value. You're not going to miss dinner with Tom Cruise, are you?
But was it like William ringing up Tom Cruise to say, Tom, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make this gig. Any chance you could go along, I'm going to come if I can as well. And then they'll get double bubble.
Well, I wonder if he would have gone if William hadn't been there. Because that's a pretty weird association. I think he is a supporter of the charity previously. But surely that is via a royal connection. I don't know how the invites worked out. But I reckon he... I'm going to put my neck out and say he wouldn't have gone if William had gone.
Mind you, he does like a stunt. And they don't always go quite so well. So he probably values the air ambulances as
true,
well, personally.
Yes,
and that was something that that William did kind of reference with. He seems to be enjoying himself back out last night. Why wouldn't you if you're there in a black tie and hanging out with Tom Cruise? But thanking people for their well wishes.
He didn't wear his Top Gun slippers. Jesse, do you remember at the premiere he wore some Top Gun sort of slipper loafers? I was quite disappointed, actually.
But then he also, so he had a made a little bit of fun of Tom Cruise saying, if you wouldn't mind not borrowing either of the new helicopters for the next Mission Impossible, it would be appreciated. We have all seen on our screens that, how can I put it, you seem to have a different take on normal wear and tear. So that was quite fun. And also he kind of made a, you know, while thanking people for the messages, he also managed to sort of segue with a little bit of light relief of saying, you know, the past few weeks have had a rather medical focus, so I thought I'd come to an air ambulance function to get away from it. So anyway, good to see William back out and about. I did enjoy the picture of him being, you know, clearly slightly rusty at pinning on the medals because he dropped one on the floor at the investiture.
Oh, did
yesterday.
He? I didn't
brilliant,
see that.
Brilliant pictures. He's there, it's like rooting around on the floor
human.
To pick it up again. So there we go. So yeah, going back to the stage management on Monday. So you had this announcement of William returning to duties in the morning. And then I had my day at work, was doing my daughter's bath time. And then my husband was in charge of the next phase. He came in and said, have you had your phone in with you? I was like, no. I was like, the king's got cancer. I'm like, oh. And like, it was weird because I was bathing my daughter when the queen died as well.
Oh, so do you want to talk about Groundhog Day? Obviously, I've had to decamp and leave Mrs. Myers and the children to fend for themselves in the wild. When the Queen died, our house was a building site and I had to grab a bag and run. And now I've had to grab a bag and run. Our house is a building site
once more.
So I am definitely flavour of the month.
Right. No more building work allowed at Shea Myers
Unfortunately, it's going to be like that for the next 20 years. But anyway, what a huge, huge story. And I could give you a bit of a flavour of what had happened. We weren't told what the announcement would be. We were just told, and I'm using the we as in my royal colleagues and I imagine broadcasters and people who needed to know. We weren't told what the announcement was going to be. We were just told there would be a major announcement at 6 o'clock. It wasn't a death, but it was going to be very significant and would be no doubt leading bulletins, be on front pages. And the kind soul that told me said, I'm really sorry, you're going to have a very, very late night and probably quite a few over the next few days. And so I kind of assumed that it would be Charles. Of course, he's just come out of hospital. One would have assumed that there would have been secondary tests and biopsies done, possibly from his previous procedure, stroke operation, and nobody would be drawn as to what that statement would be. But there was a lot of assumptions going around, a lot of people messaging each other, what could it be, what could it be, and I think it was generally accepted that that would be the case, that it was, you know, the big C and possibly and almost certainly Charles. And that appeared to be the case very, very quickly. So 6 o'clock, the announcement comes, and you know, we're prepared, and it's, gosh, it's led the news agenda for the last few days, and not just in the UK, absolutely across the world, because the royal family are of interest absolutely globally. We know, of course, from our global listeners, don't we? And I think that people have been quite shocked that going in for a procedure, coming out, being all smiles, going to be back to work in a few weeks, and then suddenly, you know, the mood changes very, very swiftly.
I thought it was really interesting, the picture that they released with it as well, which, you know, obviously dominated the front pages the next day. But it's a very energetic and positive and happy.
I thought it was quite radiant.
Full of life picture of, you know, he's not. They don't want to present him as being sort of weak,
well, sick,
fragile.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was the confusion, because when we were speaking to the palace, they did say there will be a statement and a picture, and you thought, well, what? Why is there a picture? And I thought that was very well managed by the palace, because everybody would use that picture, and I think that was the danger. If you put an announcement out like that the king is seriously ill, and news desks, pitch desks and broadcasters can use any picture they want, there's going to be, you know, this cascade of different images around, and some might be, you know, dark and black and white or whatever. It's up to personal choice then, isn't it? But by choosing, there's a uniformity over everything then, and there's an announcement and a picture, and everybody will use that picture because Buckingham Palace put it out, and it can be quite managed from that point on.
Yeah, it manages the presentation and
absolutely
the framing
exactly
of it.
That, yeah.
What was that picture originally taken for? What were they saving it for?
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because, well, he was there with Camilla,
and you know, they must try and take some of these good, you know, a good stock shots that you can use for, yeah, invitations or a
absolutely
birthday photo, or releasing this new photo to mark the occasion of such and such, and actually that one is being used for the announcement of the king having a very serious illness, which obviously, you know, everyone, as you said, has been leading the news agenda all this week. The other thing that came out very, very quickly was that Prince Harry would be travelling to the UK to visit his father.
Yes, and that came straight from his people. They were saying that he would be flying over to the UK in the coming days. And I think that got everybody sort of talking and chatting about, gosh, this sort of ramps up the seriousness of it, doesn't it? Because Harry had not put out a statement, which I thought, you know, he was very unduly criticised for when his father was going into hospital for an enlarged prostate, and he didn't come and see him. So, you know, we don't know the conversations. We know that they have spoken very, very sparingly over the last few months, but you could imagine that if Charles was going into hospital, he would have told his sons, and, you know, almost say, don't worry about it, I'll be in and out a couple of days and it's nothing to worry about. But obviously when you hear the words cancer and that severe diagnosis, things changed dramatically. Now, we do know that Charles had told his siblings and his sons personally when he got the diagnosis, but I understand that Harry had agreed to not fly over to the UK straight away until that public message was, that announcement was put out by Buckingham Palace. And so you can see it all being structured behind the scenes. And then, of course, he arrived and he was gone quick as a flash.
I know, but because we weren't privy to that sort of backstory, we had the announcement and then Harry's coming over. And it did add, I think, a sense in the outside world of, oh, this must be quite serious that he's coming over this quickly. But actually, you know, when you unravel it all and what's been going on behind the scenes, you know, actually it was time to coincide and catch him just before he headed off to Sandringham.
Well, to catch him just before he, yeah, absolutely, you're totally right. And catch him not even just before his first treatment. He'd had the treatment, then he's catching him, then he's flying off. I mean, 30 minutes. I mean, he was in the gates and out the gates within 55 minutes.
That's 50. Probably not his fault, though. Do you think?
No, I mean, it was interesting. I read today that Robert Jobson, one of a royal author, said that the king was very tired and from his first treatment, and was sort of waiting around for Harry for him to arrive, and then there was this 30-minute meeting. I mean, Harry's flown 8,000 miles. He was in the country 25 hours, and he only spent 30 minutes with his father. That was the first face-to-face meeting in 16 months. He didn't see him when he came over for the coronation. He didn't hang around, did he? He was here for, 25, 36 hours, whatever. And so, things are still very, very strained. And that ties in with everything that I've been told over the last few months, is that, the king would love some form of reconciliation, but this isn't the time for it, or it hadn't been the time. So will this spark the green shoots of a new relationship? And quite telling that, we broke the story this week that there was no plans for William to meet Harry. Again, I'm told that Harry would have welcomed that opportunity to see his brother, but William just had no time or inclination to see him. And I think when you're being fair to William, you look at the week he's had, the couple of weeks he's had looking after the children, his wife in hospital, coming back, being responsible for her care at home. She's still going to be off for many, many weeks. He wanted to get back to work this week, putting in a couple of engagements, going to be off next week with the children, being told he's going to take on extra responsibilities, not necessarily told, but working with the palaces, Buckingham Palace and his own, in order to try and take the load off Princess Anne, because you're working like a workhorse once again. So there is a lot going on. And do you want to have your brother in? You haven't spoken to him for months, and you're dealing with the fact
that not only is your dad unwell and you're worried about him, but actually that has a massive impact on you and your future career trajectory when you're the heir to the throne. And, obviously we've been talking about Prince Charles, King Charles, being in good health, and how his mother and grandmother lived until they were, in their 90s and over 100. And there was no reason to expect that he would not enjoy a long period of good health and a relatively long reign for a man taking over the throne at the age of 70. But when you have a cancer diagnosis, whatever stage it is, whatever type of cancer it is, but it's a wake-up call in your 70s,
and I've spoken to a lot of doctors this week, and I think that is the main takeaway that I've had across the board. Whether you're discussing, doesn't matter what cancer you're discussing, if you have had cancer in your 70s, the situation really ramps up. And so, that's why he needs all the pioneering treatment and well wishes we can give him.
And the rest and recovery. So, for William, you're dealing with all of that. Do you really want to have to deal with, my little brother who I need to, we've got a strangle. Big thing that I want to strangle. At some stage we need to fix it, but I can't deal with it now and I'm not sure I'm ready to fix it. And possibly for Charles, in some ways, the same. You're not necessarily going to get back to being friends and everything being normal again by having some massive Sandringham summit style long weekend of talks of how we thrash everything out and resolve everything. Maybe the first step to that, that sort of reconciliation and new relationship. Well, we had it at his birthday with a phone call and some video messages. We don't really know what level of contact there has been in between, if there has been, but classic thing. Maybe the first thing you need is a cup of tea and just to be in the same space.
Well, that's very true.
I don't know. Have a hug. Hopefully they had a hug.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, gosh, why didn't Harry just go straight to Sandringham? He could have been in and out. He wouldn't have been pictured. He wouldn't have been seen. There wouldn't have been this sort of frenzy about, he's come from Heathrow straight to Clarence House. He was only there half an hour. Could he have stayed a couple of days in Sandringham and then gone back? Well, again, I think you're totally right that baby steps. Was it just a cup of tea? Was it just a quick hello? It's good to see you, son. Maybe we'll catch up again soon. I'm going to have this, pretty arduous few weeks ahead of me. I'm not talking necessarily physically, but mentally and
emotionally.
Yeah, and I do think that there is currently a red line for William. I mean, again, anyone I've spoken to have said it's no interest in reconciling with him. So with all of this in the background, why would he want to add that into the mix?
But then equally, I mean, I think we talked about this a little bit in our sort of end of year review, and my thing was like, make friends again as soon as you can, because you never know what is around the corner. Mm. And here we are, we're around that corner, and that corner's come quite quickly, that there's a family, I don't know, a moment of not crisis exactly, but like a wake up call.
Yeah, reflection. Because, you know, I think that when you have ill health or a crisis in the family, it can be a mode to bring people together. Or, you know, maybe we just can't predict, can we?
No, we can't. I mean, I don't know. I can only imagine that Harry will hopefully be coming over a little bit more often than he has been, or making good use of some video calling.
Yeah, or at least making contact, perhaps. Yeah.
Being a bit more, I don't know, present, whether virtually or in person. So hopefully this might be the start of, at least for father and son, something. And, you know, I think we've always said it's sad the way the family has had that rift between them. So I remain ever hopeful and optimistic that everyone could be friends again, because it's just much nicer like that. We've talked a lot recently about Camilla. How do you think she'll be dealing with all of this? I mean, we saw she was in, when Charles was in the London clinic for the weekend, she was in and out, made loads of visits to him. You know, clearly they are, you know, a devoted couple. They'll be married 20 years next year. Their relationship goes back, you know, rightly or wrongly, decades. But being queen is very new for her in this sort of focus. And she seemed to take to it like as well as you could possibly hope over the last few weeks, when she's been lead flag bearer of it all.
Absolutely central, right? She's been the complete nucleus of the royal family. Yeah, I know. Whenever you talk about people think, Camilla won't necessarily like the attention of being queen, I think she's settled pretty well into it. And that's definitely not a criticism. That's a real positive.
You get your tap shoes from Johannes Redding off Strictly. Like, why wouldn't you want to do it?
Well, she is definitely leading from the front. And I think that the old adage of keep calm, carry on, that'd be very much in her mantra. Now, she's you know, not going to give up work this week, next week. She's going to be here, there and everywhere. And I think that whilst the king is recuperating and just resting, she'll want to keep busy. You know, she won't want to be just twiddling her thumbs at Sandringham. It's about his rest and recuperation. There's going to be enough people to look after him. And she believes that she has to be responsible for the institution. And, of course, almost take that burden off William as well, because he's got things going on at home. It's just trying to help out the family, I suppose.
You mentioned Princess Anne being an absolute workhorse. I did enjoy, I think it was Royal Fashion Police had spotted it on the Instagram. She was wearing one of the Queen's old coats.
The
purple check number. And it looks very different. She's got a very different figure to her mother's, certainly her mother in her later years. You know,
smaller.
It looked really nice. And, you know, I've got one of my grand's old coats that I use for gardening. And I think someone had written as a comment underneath, it could be really comforting wearing your family members' clothes. And maybe at that sort of particular time, wanting something a bit more comfort, of the family. It's very nice. But on Anne, so remember last week in our inaugural question of the week.
Oh, yes, yes.
I asked people who they would have come along and, you know, sort of open their fate or whatever it was. And I'm really sorry, Edward, but everybody agrees with Russell. You only get an invitation if Sophie's coming.
Oh,
as well.
Really?
Bit harsh. But I thought,
no, poor Eddie, I'd have him along.
Well, I'm sure he's probably underrated. He's like the secret sleeper agent of it all. It's underrated. But Anne came through really strongly.
Really?
Which I was quite surprised by. Like she'd I don't know, she's
a bit severe sometimes, you know, a bit of razzmatazz with the you know, pulling off pulling out the plaque or unveiling whatever.
Well, just she's get on with it. But Book of State Prudence, the Princess Royal, love the way she handles things without making a fuss, and her sense of humor. Emily Arwa, Anne, she seems candid. Emily runs for Princess Anne 100%.
Wow,
I know. Let me find. One of our regular correspondents, UNC94 girl, Princess Anne, but only if she's chatty like she was on the rugby podcast. Lots of love for Zara and Mike as well. Quite a lot of people interested in Princess Beatrice as well. Someone describing her as a fashion icon with her recent looks. Sorry, I can't find your message and your name just now. But, Beatrice, she's killing it lately as a fashion icon. Need her in more tiaras, says Melbug7. Bit of love for Harry. occasional mentions for Charlotte and Louis as well. A bit early for them, clearly. And, you know, Sophie is in the mix. And also a lot of love for Camilla. But Anne was the big surprise. It's not, I don't have scientific polling stats in here. But thank you, everybody who got in touch. This week's question of the week, Russell. We're going to ask people how they're feeling about the prospects of a reconciliation for Harry with his family. I've already shared that I'm feeling optimistic and ever hopeful, but I'd be interested to hear how our listeners are feeling about things.
Yeah, I would be, because I think that there needs to be some positive aspect from this, you know, that Harry dropping everything and coming over to be by his father's side, 30-minute meeting or not, is a positive step. Well, unless he was told to clear off and don't come back.
No, but you're not coming on the helicopter to Sandringham.
It wasn't the fact that he came, and he would have had to put that in the king's diary, and the king would have had to accept it. And you know, these things, it's not just like you coming over to mine for a cup of tea. It has to be structured and proper. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the wider crew think.
Last week, I asked you, what do we have to look forward to? What's coming up? And you said, not a lot. There's nothing in the diary.
Well, I think I'll give up predictions for the rest of my life. But there isn't a much in the diary as it stands, because it is half term. There is going to be nothing for the Prince of Wales next week. No doubt the Queen and Princess Anne will be leading from the front, and I think we will probably see pictures of Charles arriving back in London. We may get details of his conversation with Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister, because there is going to be a 2-week break. The Prime Minister did ring him last night, which was Wednesday in the space-time continuum, and Downing Street and Buckingham Palace were keen to push that. I think it shows the King is getting on with his duties. But there is going to be a 2-week break, and they won't speak again till Wednesday the 21st.
Because our MPs also get half term.
Oh, gosh. We're in the wrong job. We should have been a royal or an MP. So nothing next week. Then they will reconvene their meetings face-to-face, you would think. That is still the plan. But surely we will see the chopper coming back from Sandringham and landing in London, and then the King being taken to somewhere in London for this treatment. But I don't think we'll see pictures of him going to the clinic or what have you. I think there needs to be a level of respect and decency around this.
We obviously saw him going to the church at Sandringham on Sunday. I'm guessing we don't expect to see him going to church coming up, because it is a, you know, in public, mixing with people, mixing with the germs situation.
Yeah, again, I don't think that will be happening. And I don't think that the, if he's walking to church on his own and there are pictures that emerge, it'd be interesting to see whether any news outlets decides to publish them.
Interesting, because normally church at Sandringham is a standard thing.
It's going to be very different for the next few weeks. I mean, you know, we've got tours in the balance. I would imagine Canada is almost certainly off. That is in May. Whether Australia, New Zealand, Samoa will go ahead in October.
Or who it happens for.
Absolutely. As in who would stand in?
Yeah.
Well, absolutely, yeah. Could the Waleses step in? The problem is that it coincides with the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting in Samoa. I don't think, you know, obviously William wouldn't stand in for his father on that, but it could be a smaller tour, Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, Tonga. Could that happen? I don't know. I think there are so many moving parts. That is so long away.
Yeah.
We're still dealing with the aftershock of Italy being cancelled. Well, Latvia, Italy for the Wales is. Now we've got Canada in the balance. I mean, I can't imagine that would go ahead, but you never know.
Clearly there is some good news this week, even if it hasn't been announced, because William is back at work, therefore Kate must be up to, you know.
Yeah, she's
at a point in her recovery where he feels comfortable to go back and do some engagements.
Yeah, and we haven't heard officially from the palace. I think the understanding was at the first instance when she was coming out of hospital and going home, she was doing well. So we haven't had any further updates than that. So she's resting, recuperating. It's going to be a long journey for her as well.
Well, listeners, thank you for joining us this week. Russell and I will be back next week to talk about through whatever has been.
I'm taking half term off. Decided. No, I'm not. I'll be here.
Banned. I'll tell your boss not to sign that off. Listeners, thank you for joining us once again. If you and your families are dealing with health issues and struggles at the moment, then we wish you and your families all the very best as well, and our best wishes to the King and Kate as the King embarks on his treatment and Kate continues her recovery. You can see us on Instagram and engage with our new question of the week at PodSave. Russell will be on X/Twitter and on Instagram. And until next time.
PodSave the King!